Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
How many of you are people that when God gives you something, or maybe you're just at work, you're a post-it note person, you got them everywhere? I'm an index card. I got so many index cards with things that don't even make sense. They've been sitting on my desk for so long. But this has been one of those. And we're going to start a new series today called Jehovah. It's all in the name. And we're going to go through the names of Jehovah. And we're going to talk about what it means. How many Old Testament fans do I have in the room today? Praise God. How many New Testament fans do I have in the room today? Okay, there's a lot of you that didn't raise your hand on either. I don't know what book you're in. It ain't the right one. There's only two Testaments, one book. It's the Bible. 66, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Thank you. So we're going to go through all of the names of Jehovah and what they mean here in these next few sessions. And I don't know if we'll get to the first one today because there's some stuff that I want to just remind you of as we get set. Psalm, the 83rd Psalm, verse 18, David says that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all of the earth. David is laying a claim at the feet of God to the entire world. There's nobody like Jehovah God. He's challenging every little g God in the world. There's nobody like Jehovah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him there's nobody like Jehovah. Amen. You may be seated. Give me a moment here to start my clock. You will appreciate that at the end of this session today. How many of you spend a lot of time and effort in naming your children, those parents in the house? How many of you prayed about it? Raise your hand. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I didn't pray about Tyler and Jaden's names. I just tried to find what would look good in Hollywood lights. What would look good on the front of an album cover. No, just kidding. I mean, with a name like Fender, we don't need any help. I mean, that says it all. But I know a lot of people are very, very serious. And when they pick, and I'm not blasting that at all, because I believe that the name, what you call something, is important. And I believe in the power of the Word of God. Do you believe that? I believe so much in the power of the Word of God because of one distinct scripture. We're going to talk about the name of Jesus before we get to Jehovah, but I love the name of Jesus, and we're going to preach that a little bit today. But one of the things I love about the name of Jesus is the authority that it gives me to bring the Word of God to pass in my life. See, the Word of God is true. The Word of God is real. The answer to every question in your life can be found in the 66 books of God-breathed and God-inspired Word. And so when I know the Word and then I invoke the name of Jesus, now I have authority to bring the Word from the pages and manifest it into the miracles that you and I need in our life. That's why when I pray in the name of Jesus. That's why when the 18-wheeler sideswipes into my lane and I don't have enough time to say, "Our Father who art in heaven," I always have enough time to say, "Jesus." Sometimes I say it so fast, it's almost one syllable, "Jesus." But whenever you say that name as a believer, I want to remind you, church, that all of heaven pivots to where that name is called. And when you say the name of Jesus, angels are dispatched. Angels come to your aid. When you say the name of Jesus, the very same God that created the world in 6 days, the very same Jesus that died on a cross but 3 days later rose again with all power over death, hell, and the grave. When you say Jesus, that God and all of heaven shows up to make sure that His word is performed in your life. Somebody say Jesus. So it's all in the name, what you call him, and understanding that that name Jesus holds so much value. So I asked earlier if you put a lot of thought into the naming of your children. Any parents, did you fight with your spouse over what you were going to call them? Anybody? Anybody wish they had gone with a different name? There's a few. Anybody have a name that you don't like and you wish they would have gone with a different name? Or with a different spelling? Jaden is still holding it against us because she can't never find a keychain with her name spelled right. And for those of you wondering, it's J-A-D-Y-N, because most everybody misspells it still. But when you look at the name and you look at what someone is called, you are literally making a declaration over that person numerous times a day. My wonderful wife, Amanda, this, I love this because it's so Mandy. It writes itself. When you look at the word Amanda, what the name means, it means lovable. She's like the prophetess of love. I mean, she just exudes love. Every time she speaks on love. Every time she even if it's a rebuke, it is done in love. I remember our first few counseling sessions as a married couple and a pastor. We would be sitting, youth pastors, we'd be sitting in the office and we'd be talking with a young person whose parents had said, hey, little Johnny is having trouble with this. We need you guys to set him straight and counsel him. And so I didn't know that we were going in good cop, bad cop. Guess which cop I was? I'm bad cop, she's good cop. We're sitting there and we've got this young person across the desk from us or across the room from us, and we are pouring into them and we're telling them what the word says and how they've missed the mark and how they need to get back. And I'm kind of like the shock and awe. I want to get your attention. I want to tell you, hey, God is not pleased, but this is how you can get back to where you need to be. You need to be obedient to your parents. You need to love your parents. You need to act right at school. And so I'm giving them the riot act. I give Mandy the side eye like, hey, you want to jump in? And so I'm giving them, I'm reading them their rights. And then Mandy would jump in, but we love you. You're awesome. You're amazing. You're incredible. I'm looking at her like, what are you doing? No, you're not amazing. That's why you're sitting right here today. Your parents don't think you're amazing. Your coach doesn't think you're amazing. At this point, I don't think you're amazing. Look at Mandy again. Hey, it's your second try. Let's. I don't want to be the only one out here on this branch. And she'd be, but you're amazing. I love you. We love you. You're going to be awesome. And I remember struggling through that first session, and when we closed the door, we had to counsel each other. I'm saying, you can't be so soft on them. She's saying, you can't be so hard on them. And I believe over the last 18 years that we have met in the middle, and we have tempered each other. But Amanda means lovable, means worthy of love. Every time that her mother, Ramona, would say, hey, Amanda, she is calling her loved. She is calling her. Every time, even when she was getting in trouble, Amanda Tennille Womack, she's still saying, hey, I love you, but you're about to get whipped. It's the declaration. I looked up my name, and I'd never seen this one before, but it fits very adequately. Brandon means a fiery heel. I'm fiery. I guess we could call this a heel. Every time that my mom would say, Brandon Cody, which she still calls me some to this day. Every time my father would say, Brandon. Every time my brother would say, Brandon. Every time a teacher would say, Brandon. They were speaking into my future. That even what I see today, if it doesn't line up with what I see today in you, I am calling you not what you are, but what I want you to be and what I think you'll become. Oh, and then there's Jaden. I love this. And it was the correct spelling too, J-A-D-Y-N. It means God has heard. Every time she opens up her mouth, it's not for the masses. God has heard. Every time I say Jaden or Jade, I'm saying, hey, God hears you. Never quit singing. Never quit posting. Never quit preaching. Never quit witnessing. Never quit talking about Jesus. God hears every word. Jade also means the precious one. Every time I say Jaden, Even when I'm having to get on to her, even when I'm having to be that dad, I'm telling her, hey, even though I'm being hard on you in this moment, you're still precious to me. You're my daughter. I'm your father, and I love you. It's what I'm declaring over her. Say, Pastor, where are you going? Because there's a lot of people that use the name of Jesus that are not calling him what he's supposed to be. And then there's Tyler. Tyler, I'm sorry. We were going to name you Damien. And Grandma said, don't name him Damien. That's too close to that little boy in that horror movie back in the 70s. Don't do that to him. Then we're going to name him Colton because I always wanted a son called Colt. Colt. I'm a ranch boy. Colt. Come here, Colt. But then a cousin beat us to that one, and so we came and settled on Tyler. Tyler means the maker of tiles. The layer of tiles. Tyler, I know you've got a pressure washing business, but there might be some tile laying in your future. Because for the last 17 years, we've called you maker of tile, layer of tile. But I did see this one. I love this. Tyler means doorkeeper. It means the one that allows certain things to come in, certain things to go out. That's what I choose to declare over my kids. God hears you. You're the doorkeeper. What I choose to declare over my wife, you're loved. I'm going to tell you what, I talk to myself and I use my own name every day when I look in the mirror. When I fall and I miss the mark, I say, Brandon, you got to do better. I'm literally declaring over my life what I want to be and what I want to become. You're better than that. George Foreman, one of the greatest boxers to ever live, and I've used this illustration. It's so powerful. I was watching him interviewed one day, and he was talking about how his father had not really been much of an influence in his life, that there was not much I love yous and hugs and not much encouragement in his adolescent years. But he said, as a little boy, he said, my father would be watching boxing on the television. And he said, every once in a while, he said, I'd be playing at the foot of his chair and of his recliner. And every once in a while, he said, my father would reach over and he would rub my little head and he'd say, George Foreman, the next heavyweight champion of the world. And George said, my dad didn't do a lot, but he did enough. Because he said, I heard that enough that when I started training to box, he said, it was already ingrained in me that I am going to be a champion. Can I encourage parents? I know it's not Mother's Day or Father's Day, but can I encourage you, declare great things over your kids. Don't tell them they're stupid. Don't tell them they're not worth anything. You speak life into them. You tell them there is nothing in this world that you cannot do. There is no place that you cannot go. Can I encourage you, Father? You speak to your daughters and tell them there is no glass ceiling with God. God will take you higher than you have ever imagined going. Mothers, I encourage you, keep loving those sons and keep declaring it even when you don't see it. Declare what you want to see. Say what you want to see. So that brings us to the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. That makes it plain. I'm sorry for the woke Christians and progressive Christians that say Jesus is one of many ways. I am sorry to Oprah and I am sorry to Tom Cruise. Jesus is not just one way. Jesus is the way, is the truth, is the life. There is no way to get to the Father. There is no way to get to heaven except through Jesus. Why do you make such a big deal about Jesus? I'm glad you asked. The reason that I make such a big deal about Jesus is he is the only way for me to get from here to there. Why would I not make a big deal about Jesus? He healed me, delivered me, set me free, saved me. Listen, everything I have is because of Jesus. And so when I say the name of Jesus, it's not a casual tone. It's not a casual word. I am invoking all of heaven. Jesus, show up where I am. Power in the name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus. Jesus. A sad footnote to churches today. There will be churches, so-called churches, all over our nation that will have an entire church service and never say the name of Jesus. They'll give you 3 points to a healthy marriage. They'll give you 5 points to raising successful kids. They'll give you 3 points to overcoming depression, but they will never talk about Jesus. I'm all in you having a healthy marriage, great kids, and overcoming depression. But unless that is founded in Jesus, it will not work. We are a Jesus church. Jesus is the living way. When we say living way church, we're saying Jesus church. We're saying I've tried the other ways and they were dead ends. I tried the other ways and they led to destruction. They led to addiction. But when I tried Jesus, I found out he was the only way. I love John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever you ask in my name, Jesus said it. He said, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What does whatsoever mean? Whatsoever, anything. Everything that you ask in the name of Jesus. That's why every prayer should end with the name of Jesus. That's why Jesus should come out of your mouth at least 2 or 3 dozen times a day. Why? Because I am declaring. Why? Because I am punctuating a prayer. Why? Because I am putting a period at the end of my expectation. That Jesus, this is what I need you to do. Matthew 18, verse 20. For where 2 or 3 gather in my name, there am I with them. Excuse me while I preach to those of you at home today. I'm glad you're watching at home. If you're in the greater San Antonio area and you don't have any underlying health conditions and you've been to the movies, you've been to Six Flags, you've been sending your kids to school, you've been at HEB, and you got a big Friendsgiving or Thanksgiving planned in the next couple of weeks, I want to tell you, it's time that you come back to church. Why? Because you sitting there by yourself cannot fulfill this scripture. The Bible says where 2 or 3 gather in my name. Oh, Jesus, what has happened in this building today when all of us got together and we gathered under the name of Jesus? You know what I love about this crowd? There's black, white, brown, yellow, red, polka dot. There's Democrats, Republican, Tea Party, Coffee Party, Independent Party. There are Trump fans. There are Joe Biden fans. But when we come in, none of that matters. We all come under the name of Jesus. Why? Because Trump didn't save you and Joe Biden can. But when we come under, it's all about the one that changed our life, Jesus. The greatest thing, singles, listen to me. The greatest thing about being married is you fulfill this scripture 24 hours a day for the rest of your life. Because you always have two together. Come on now, married couple, you ought to shout about that. The Bible says 1 puts 1,000, 2 puts 10,000. That means the moment you got married, you became 10 times stronger than you were before. Oh, and then you have that first little baby. Now you got 3 gathered. If 1 puts 1,000, 2 puts 10,000, then 3 puts 100,000. Now you are 100 times more valuable and more influential than you were. Oh, I got the Fender 4. That means I've got 1,000,000 times the power of what God. Why? Because when we gather in the name of Jesus. And what I love about it, Sister Tammy knows what I'm preaching. What I love about it is her and Brother Kevin are here today and Jesus is here. But guess what? When they go back to Casa de Green tonight, they're still going to be together in Jesus' name. He's going to be right there in their midst. Whatever they ask, he does. That's why you can't have church by yourself. Together. 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 You need to be a part of a faith family. Now, I let some of y'all off the hook because of pre-existing conditions, and I mean that, but I'm talking to those of you that have gotten comfortable on the couch. And you used to be comfortable on the pew, but now you're comfortable on the couch. We need you back here because of what God is saying and what God is doing. We need you not to fill a building. We need you to reach a city. Our reach team was out there yesterday. Big ups to the Wellingtons and the Hankins and their crew. They're out there praying for people. Sister Chris praying for people, seeing people healed, seeing people saved. We need you to help us reach a city and generation for Jesus. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus said, I'm right smack dab in the middle of all of them. Everything you need, church, can be found in Jesus. Everything you need can be found in Jesus. Realize that every addiction known to man is because people are searching for something that they can only find in Jesus. The pornography addiction is running rampant in the church and outside of the church, universally. And it is because they're looking for love in all of the wrong places. And the only love that can actually answer and quench that thirst is a love that is found in Jesus. But we turn to computer screens and websites, and we are fulfilling the lust of the flesh. But God said, I've come to break that spirit, and you're going to fall so love with me that you're not going to have that desire anymore. I'm going to bring you the right people. I'm going to bring you the right relationships. People start dabbling in drugs. People go to happy hour to numb the pain that can only be healed in Jesus. I don't like my life, so I'm going to get high. I don't like my life, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I want to encourage you. Any time when you start looking to other sources, you are looking for the answer where there is only questions. Any time that you start looking for the answer where there is only other questions, you need to pivot back to Jesus. That's why Wednesdays, Sundays, and Saturdays are important, because sometimes on Monday and Tuesday, you get a little off track. But if you come in here on Wednesday and the worship's going and Bishop preaches a word, you send your young person to Catalyst Kids or Catalyst Youth, and they've had a tough week at school, and the worship team starts ministering, and the word of God is preached, we are bringing them back to say, Jesus is the answer. You don't have to go down that road. Everything you need is in Jesus. Everything. Turn to your neighbor and tell them everything. Not just the church, but at everywhere we go, speak the name of Jesus. Pray the name of Jesus. Declare the name of Jesus. I've been invited many times, actually just a couple months ago, to be a part of an interfaith rally downtown. I never even answer the emails. There is no such thing as interfaith. There's interdenominational. I don't have any problem praying with a Catholic priest, a Baptist pastor, a Lutheran pastor, an Episcopalian priest. I have no problem because we all talk about Jesus. But the moment that other religions are brought into this, I'm not going to dumb down my Jesus and put him on the same level that all of y'all are praying to. Y'all are praying to tooth fairies and unicorns. I'm praying to the one true living God. I'm praying to the God that talks back. I'm praying to the only God that said, hey, I'll die, but 3 days later, open your eyes, because I'm going to get up. And when I get up, I'm getting up with a resurrection power over death, hell, and the grave that will go on for eternity. I'm sorry. I'm not sharing the stage with a Muslim. I'm not sharing the stage with Hare Krishna. I'm not sharing the stage with some Buddhist. I love them to Jesus, but I'm not going to put my Jesus on display on the same level that you put all your God's on display. That's why he's the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. He's the God of all gods. His name's Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, his name's Jesus. I got 3 minutes left. I have found it to be true that whatever you call something, that's what it is or what it will become. Some of us are in situations that we created with our mouth. And now we're suffering from the consequences. Out of your mouth cannot flow blessing and cursing. This cannot be, the word says. You undo one or the other when you let both go at the same time. I'm talking about those of you that are negative. I'm talking to me because negativity is something I've got to overcome every minute of every day. So are you pessimistic, optimistic, realist? A realist says there's a glass of water. Pessimist says there's a glass, it's half empty. Optimist says it's half full. I'm saying, where's the sweet tea? That's where I'm at. I'm not on any of the. I'm talking about people with a negative confession. You can't come to this altar and pray to God and receive a healing, receive something from God, and then by the time you get out to your car, you're already undoing what God did for the last 45 minutes in this service or the 10 minutes of your prayer time. You got to get a good confession. My God is good, and He only does good. I'm working my way towards my healing. I believe the next time I get to the doctor, this is what they're going to say. I know it feels different right now, but I also know that God is working on the inside, and even when I can't feel Him or see Him, I know He is working. Then you got the friends like Job. Well, I think you need to go get that checked out. And remember, you did this last year. And remember, your mama suffered with the same thing. I don't need friends like that. The devil does that for free. Why would I have you in my life as a friend if you're just going to be his mouthpiece? I'm talking to the negative. Shut your mouth or declare the name of Jesus. Those are the only two options. I have a lot of friends that I literally will talk to for 20 seconds because the moment I get on the phone with them, they're so negative. I'm talking about pastors. That I will invent a reason to hang up. It ain't lying. I'll just hang up on them. And then text them, sorry, we got cut off. I'll catch up with you later. Why? Because I just spent 4 hours on a Sunday morning blessing the name of God, having the word of God imparted in my life. I spent the last 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, imparting into other people, God filling me back up. I'm not going to let some also-ran on a Monday morning or afternoon talk me out of the Jesus that I love, the Jesus that I serve, and the word of God in which my life is founded on. So I found it to be true that whatever you call something, that is what it is. That is what it will become. Genesis tells us, and I mentioned this a couple years ago in a series we did. Genesis tells us the account of Adam naming the animal. I love this. And I preached about the hippopotamus, and somebody at the church bought me a little hippopotamus from one of like those Noah's Ark sets, and it sits on my shelf right across, and I see it every day. And I think about that sermon series, and I think about this revelation that I'm about to share once again because there's a lot of new people. So Genesis tells us the account of Adam naming the animals. A big mammal comes walking out of the weeds and waddling by. And Adam's looking at that and he says, wow, I'm going to call that a hippopotamus. Now listen, he didn't call the hippopotamus a hippopotamus because it was a hippopotamus. Follow me. It was a hippopotamus because he called it a hippopotamus. I'm going to slow it down. He didn't call the hippopotamus a hippopotamus because it was a hippopotamus. He called it a hippopotamus. It was a hippopotamus because he called it a hippopotamus. It had never been done before. A giraffe comes walking by and he says, I'm going to call that a giraffe. And so what he called it, that's what it was because he had that kind of authority when God said, I'm placing you in the middle of something and I'm giving you the authority. Oh, this is going to preach good. I'm giving you the authority that in the middle of things that you don't even know what they're called, I'm giving you the authority to name them what you want them to be. Oh, I wish we had a church that would stand on your feet right now and say, Pastor, I know exactly what you're saying. God put me in this family. God put me on that job. God put me in the church. God put me someplace that everything around me doesn't make sense. But He said, hey, I'm giving you the name. I'm giving you the authority. You name them what you want them to be. Stand on your feet. You name them what you want them to be. Say, Pastor, you don't know my husband. I don't know your husband, but by the tone of your voice, I know what you say about your husband. And he is what you called him to be. Ooh, it's going to get tight. Just look ahead. Hey, ex-wife, you keep calling him a deadbeat? That's all he's ever going to be. Don't be surprised when you call him a deadbeat that he shows up and he's a deadbeat. You know how crazy it is for you to be at odds and to have that kind of faith confession over the father of your children that is supposed to be supporting not just with money, but spiritual development. What it means to be a man, what it means to be a man for your son, what it means to be a future husband, what your daughter should look. It's crazy for you to talk bad about them. Your partners. You don't got to be best friends. You say, I can't find anything good to say about him. How about you say this? He's the best ex-husband I've ever had. I'll see. Some of y'all can't laugh. I'm serious. I'd rather have bad food than no food. It's all in what you say. So what does this have to do with Jehovah? I need to get you to the place where Jehovah and Jesus are synonymous. Because we're getting ready to go through numerous Jehovahs. See, some of you only know Jehovah Jireh because you're greedy. But we're going to talk about Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Shalom. We're going to go through all of those. But I need to get you to where when you name something, you get all of the benefits of that name. See, that's why I still love the name Jehovah, even though Jesus is the New Testament personification of that name. You know why I love it? Because when I say Jehovah, I say all of the names. Everything I need. I need to talk to somebody who, what I just preached, God has put you somewhere where what you see is not lining up with what God has called you to have, called you to be, called you to do. And you need some faith today. You need to change your confession. I need you to join me in this altar. Vivian Anthony.